Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Well, it's hard to believe that AFL games are being shunted all over the country again, thanks to the hard line from hit the shut button Sutton. There are no deaths here in Melbourne except from the vaccine. Five people in hospital, one in ICU, and zero in Geelong. A couple of cases were discovered today in metropolitan Melbourne, but it's a hard case still to prosecute the banning of limited crowds at the MCG, given there are so few cases, and that the mythical beast was just that. It's virtually impossible to believe there is a case to ban crowds in a non-hotspot like Geelong. But that's the medical advice from hit the shut button Sutton that the government are acting upon. I ask you, Scoop, that maybe it's time for the government to get a second opinion. Which leads me to another contentious issue, and that of the collision between David McKay and Hunter Clark. If you want to change the game at its core to protect the head, well, that's fine. I've been arguing that for 20 years. It's been an evolving process, but it's always been done the same way. It's always been done via a rule change at the end of the season to alert the playing group, never via an interpretation by the judiciary. Now, Steve Hocking can argue that McKay was reckless in his approach to the contest. But guess what? Coaches have been urging players to be fierce at the footy, attack with reckless abandon. And that's exactly what McKay did. The speed at which he attacked the ball up until there is a rule change, in my view, is a red herring because he was attacking the ball. Hocking may want a rule change, and I reckon he'll get one. But this is not the way to do it, because you can't be guilty of a rule that doesn't currently exist. Welcome to you, Scoop.
Hello, Jared. That's a good take, I think, on both points. The ridiculous nature of which our great state is coming out of the COVID pandemic is probably something for another time, and we can't spend the next hour on it. But the David McKay one, Jared, so the pace at which he went into that contest is not the issue insofar as long as he was contesting the ball. Now, when you and I discussed the Lachie Plowman one and people tried to say that he was spoiling the ball, you could easily get rid of that argument because you could see where his arms were. And if he was going to spoil it, he ended up would have having his left arm out and he would have been poleaxed himself. McKay ends up in the contest, palms heading towards the footy. They're completely different incidents.
Yeah, I know a lot of people think they are, and I think Lee Matthews might be of that group. And I can see that they're in the same family, but extended family.
Yeah.
Not the same mother.
So they're cousins, not brothers.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, the speed at which he enters the contest, to me, at this stage, should be irrelevant. Because everybody has been asked to attack the ball as quickly as you possibly can.
And
some people have said that the moment that we highlighted on the couch last night is irrelevant. That the bigger issue is how much speed he has. I completely disagree with that. Because when I first saw it, I thought it was an attack on the body. I thought it was a bump. And I saw three shots, guilty, guilty, and guilty. But the minute I saw the hands and the palms facing the sky, looking to reach for the football, probably 300 millimetres further away than Hunter Clark's, that's the time that incident went from a bump to a collision. And when you're attacking the ball, you're allowed to do so with gay abandon at the moment. That may change, but it shouldn't change without people being alerted.
I think we should do what you asked the government to do, Jared, and that's get a second opinion.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews in it. Oh, talk about a he-man.
Well, you actually attacked the goalpost with gay abandon and you never got suspended for that. Welcome to you.
Good evening, Jared. Good evening, Sam. Yeah, no, it's the McKay incident is really creating heaps of debate. And it is an interesting debate about where we are in the protection of the head, which is all it is this bottom line, is how far do we go to protect as much as possible a player from getting a head heavy contact to the head, isn't it? If this contact had been totally body to body, there'd be No one would be talking about it.
So I think there's two issues just on your opening comment, Lee. It's actually where do we want to get to? But most importantly, I think for David Mackay and for Justice, it's how we get there.
Well, I look back and only on a couple of weeks ago when the Ploughman O'Meara won, and I haven't seen the two instances alongside each other, but they seem very similar to me. There is one player who is really coming from long way away, like 20 metres, like high speed contact is made by one player who is actually coming at high speed. And mm-hmm. the player that, one thing I always used to say when I played footy back 100 years ago, Jared, that the quicker or the more high speed you could take into a contest, the more chance you would have of holding your ground, of knocking the other player out of the road. Mm-hmm. Now, back in that day, of course, whether you hit him high in the process with your shoulder and your body, you're allowed to do it. But I think the game is saying pretty clearly, and I go back to the Ploughman O'Meara one, but a lot of ones, if a player creates contact and the contact ends up being high, then that player is probably liable.
Yeah, well, I would disagree with you, Lee. As I said, I can see there are some similarities, but I don't think they're equivalent. And one is that Mackay was trying to win the ball, whereas I think that Ploughman, he was trying to spoil the ball and had a significant amount of time to change his mind. And we saw that basically on the slow-mo of him changing his shoulder, turning away. He wasn't spoiling from a long way back, because if he was, he would have turned his right shoulder. He ended up turning his left shoulder.
So, Jared, all four guys on the couch he did the show with last night, at some stage of their careers, would have run back at a million miles an hour, eyes on the footy, back with a flight, and taken, you know, courageous marks. But we've seen all four of those guys do it. What happens if one of those guys runs back with a flight and injures someone coming the other way?
Well,
are they acting carelessly or recklessly?
The question on reckless behaviour, Lee, I think it opens Pandora's box. And this is why I think it's the wrong process from Steve Hocking. I think we should be entering a season knowing and him enunciating examples, because...
Do you think they need to change the rule if they're going to do this?
Well, absolutely. They need to rewrite a rule. I mean, they struggle to find the right rule to apply to it in the finish after 24 hours.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear.
A lot of negative feedback. They went for the best cover or rule they could get. But I think, Lee, in to be fair, I think Steve Hocking, if he thought it was a bump, he should have charged him with a bump.
But it's just contact. It doesn't have to be a bump. The fact was the body of Mackay hit the head of the other player, of Clark. I mean, that's the end result. The only question is, was there any, somewhere between accidental and careless, there might be a word called incidental. In other words, but who, I still go back to, in this incident, who initiated the high-speed contact?
Well, that
Mackay did, didn't he?
Of course he did. That's what I'm saying. That's why Mackay is being looked at. Now, again, I don't disagree with you, Jared. What do the rules actually say? But I think it's pretty simple. I think Michael Christian, in his role, he just follows what the rules are as they're written and as he interprets them. Steve Hocking, in his role, says, don't know what the rules say, but we don't want this happening, so I'm going to send it to the tribunal and let the tribunal examine the rules of the game and see what they come up with.
That to me is the wrong starting point. I think that's the biggest failing of Steve Hocking in this whole thing. In that,
so what if the tribunal do suspend him?
Well, then
they'll appeal it, surely.
They will appeal
but
it.
But that's what happened with Lachie Ploughman.
You and I disagree, and I don't think they're the same of the same of the same ilk.
Well, I disagree with that one. But anyway, we do disagree on this one. All I'm saying is, this wasn't a brutal act by Mackay, but it's like where are we going in footy? Where are we now? Where do we want to go to? I mean, we spoke to Adam Simpson yesterday on our lunchtime coverage on AW, and he said the sentence which said it all. He said, not sure where this stands now, but I think we all know where we're going.
Lee, can I ask you this?
Before you go though, Scoop, I accept that, Lee, and I'm 100% with that viewpoint, but it's how you get there. And should a person who has been encouraged and he's never had any evidence, never has anybody said, from Steve Hocking, Adrian Anderson, anybody has said, you have to temper the way you attack the ball, because you owe the other player a duty of care. That has been thrust upon the game by Steve Hocking in the last 48 hours. And that's why it's unfair for one man to carry the burden. I haven't got a problem if he came out, Steve Hocking, and said, listen, folks, this cannot go on in our game. And from now on, this will be interpreted as negligent behaviour. But there has been no signal, no sign of any description whatsoever that that's been the case when you are winning the ball.
When we're talking about what's gone over the last generation and where we're getting to, like, I only watch the game now. But if I played it now, I would think if I charge in 100 miles an hour and any part of me hits the other player in the head, then I'm probably got a case to answer. I mean, I think everyone would know that. Now, Picard didn't deliberately
if you said
do
to
it.
Bump, that'd be fine, but not when you're winning
the ball.
But
charge in. I mean, a charge in at the last minute. No, like no player really goes charging in if you could call face first. Like, no one charges in face first deliberately. You instinctively, you cover up and protect yourself a little by just tucking your head in, behind your shoulder, mm-hmm. just a fraction, which is what Mackay did. Now, what the game is kind of saying is, well, okay, do we allow this? Of course, the bottom line is one player's been concussed. I mean, the broken jaw for me is like a serious injury, but it's more the concussion part of it. That's what we're trying to prevent, the fact that he's probably got concussed as well. And again, how far we go with it is the dilemma. That's the conundrum. And where this one sits, I'm not sure either, but I more think that there is if not careless, this wasn't totally accidental.
I'm going to have to be the referee here and step in the ring in between the two heavyweights. Another heavyweight, Harry Mackay, he's fresh off a new deal. He's going to join us next on Sports Day. You are listening to Sports Day. We are powered by Ren Energy, Ward Cancer's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Ren Energy. The Kia Sorento, it is Drive Car of the Year. Jared Healy, Lee Matthews is up in beautiful Queensland. And Sam McClure with you. And, Jared, we've got a re-signing at the Blues.
Can you hear me, Harry?
I can hear you, Jared.
Fantastic, Harry. You're probably too old to actually understand just what the perspective of that question is. But it was a famous question in the history of 3OW sports coverage. And it's great to have another fantastic Harry on board. And congratulations. A couple of years added to your contract and you're a Blue through and through.
Thank you. Yeah, you did lose me with the reference there, not gonna lie. But appreciate the kind words. Yeah, it's nice to sign on for another couple of years. Yeah, it's fantastic to get it done and looking forward to the second half of the year.
One bloke old enough to know, absolutely understand the reference to Can You Hear Me, Harry, is Lee Matthews who joins us. Welcome again, Lee.
Yeah, that'd be, thank you, Jerry. That'd be Tommy Laif in the old days. That's it. Long before you were born, Harry. But can I ask you, I mean, for congratulations on the recontracting. I always think the news story is when a player doesn't want to be recontracted, so it's great that you're staying. Can I ask you, I mean, most of your kicks are shots at goal. And I guess an observation I make is you look more comfortable with the across-the-body kick. Have you worked out the segments, in a sense, in the forward 50 arc and already know what kick I'm going to do from different parts of the 50-metre arc?
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Pretty much. I've worked out, I guess, to an extent. Obviously, game day, some things change in terms of conditions and feel a little bit, but pretty much that whole 45 section, I feel really comfortable snapping the ball. I think some people think it's because you don't want to have the drop pump, but for me it's just a comfort thing. I feel like I can get really good purchase on the ball, and the margin for error is a lot higher, so I feel like I can hit the ball well and it'll always come back. So it's just something I've been working on mostly in the off season, and I feel like I'm really comfortable and kicking the ball well. I think the stats-wise, I haven't missed too many from that side. So, I'm pretty comfortable, I guess, in certain different parts of the ground, what kick I'm going to do. There's always a couple kind of tinkering on the edge on game day, depending on feel. But yeah, I'm pretty comfortable when I go out there. I know what kick I'm going to do.
And the coaches are quite happy to back your judgment on what kick to use in, you know, certain circumstances?
Yeah, they are. I guess all they want to see, really, is just a routine and something that you can repeat time after again. If you're chopping and changing and playing on and not really having much control on what you're doing, I think that's when they get a little bit annoyed. But Teague and my forward coach Cameron Bruce, we've done a lot of work, and they back me in to make the right call and go through my routine and execute it.
Did you meet with any other clubs, Harry?
No, I didn't, Sam. No, I think my manager obviously fielded a few calls, but yeah, I was purely just dealing with Carlton. I guess it's his job to pick up the phone, Sam. But yeah, it was always just negotiating with Carlton, and I'm really glad to get that done.
Jared, Harry saying that his manager may have fielded one or two calls. I mean, like, he's the hottest forward in the game right now. He's leading the Coleman medal. I think it would have been more than one or two.
I think he'd be humble. Very polite, and you should have listened to all offers just to make sure that you're very comfortable with where you sit, Harry. One thing that I would ask you, though, is now that you are a very wealthy young man, do you think you should invest in getting your own personal kicking coach?
Ooh.
That's a good question, Jared. I think...
Let me just paint the picture. There used to be a kicking coach, Sav Rocker at Carlton. He's now no longer there. You are a guy who makes your living out of kicking goals, among other things that will be added to your game, I'm sure. But essentially, you're getting paid these big bucks because you're a goal kicker. And right now, your goal kicking conversion could seriously go up a serious amount if, in fact, you could find the right person to help you through the learning process or the relearning process, etc. Now, over in the States, I mean, there is multiple golfers paying multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars, and in Australia too, to have their own personal coach. In tennis, it's you pay for your own coach. And I just wonder, when we get to these mega contracts, and take it for what it's worth, it's a big deal, the contract, maybe it's time team players should start thinking individually about improving elements of their game.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I've on a personal note, I employ a sports psychologist outside of the club in terms of the work on the mental side of things for my goal kicking, and then I've been really enjoying working with the coaches at the Carlton Football Club. They are experts in their field to a degree as well, so I think there's a balance there. Yeah. I feel like if you look at my improvement in terms of last year and the year before, so now I'm by no certain means comfortable or satisfied with where I'm kicking at the moment. But I think I've shown improvement, and I've tapped into the mental side of things just as much as the physical side of things. But I'm actually a big advocate for that. Obviously, the club will push in a direction, not just with goal kicking, but diet, your training, whatever it is. But to a degree, you have to have some accountability as a player, and just if you can't get that necessary working at the club, then using some of your own money and investing in yourself to get the best out of yourself. I believe in that. Yeah.
So, Harry, you've re-signed at a time just after the club announced an external review. It's going to put a few jobs of people above you under the microscope. Did it affect at all your decision making?
Not really, Sam. I think the whole time I'd known that I wanted to stay at Carlton. The review came at an interesting time, obviously, as I was sitting down to crunch the numbers and work out a deal. I think I said earlier this morning, I wouldn't have re-signed if I had any doubt in where we're going as a club. And I think that the review actually comes at a good time as a high-performing environment. If we can get any feedback and work on anything that can get us better, I'm all for that and take that on board. I feel like we've got a lot of the foundations in place for the football club to be successful, and I think this will help just nut out a few of the minor details. But I'm really comfortable where the list is at. We haven't played amazing football so far this year, but we've still got 10 or 11 games to turn that around, and I'm really confident we can do that.
Were you one of the players that the incoming president, Luke Sayers, chatted to in Sydney last week?
No, I've spoken to Luke, just shaking his hand and saying good day and congratulations. But I didn't speak in terms of sitting down with him. But I may in the future. I'm not sure how the extent of the review will work out. But no, apart from asking him what hotel he's staying at and how his coffee was, Sam, that's all I've said to Luke.
Always interesting, you big forwards, Harry. Who's the player, the teammate upfield you want with the ball when you got a chance to move into space?
Yeah, we've got a couple there. From a forward line perspective, whenever Eddie Betts gets the ball, I feel like we have pretty good chemistry. So he always kind of looks for me, so he kicks the ball well. I think Sam Welsh as well. He wins a lot of it himself. So whenever he gets the ball, your eyes light up to a degree. But I feel like we've got some good kicks. Murph over the years has been a really nice kick. I think Welshie, he probably wins more ball than anyone, so I'm always pretty happy when he has the ball.
Jared, I'm not sure if you were listening a couple of weeks ago. SEN Breakfast had Harry's twin brother Ben on from North Melbourne. And they were sort of, you know, joking along the lines of, if they played North, would you get the matchup on him? And Ben said something along the lines of, well, I usually take the number one key forward, so I'll probably play on Levi.
Right.
So I just thought, Harry, in the interest of fairness, we'd give you the chance to sort of, you know, shoot back across the net. You know, would you play on Ben, do you think, whenever you face North Melbourne?
Well, a little bit of context, Sam. I reckon I've said that line around friends and family about 20 times, I reckon, but Ben was quick enough to get it in front of the media, so hats off to him for that. I think he was quite happy with the response he got. But I did see, I don't want to steal his gag, but Robbie Tarrant usually, I think in the past, I've played on Robbie, and I would say he's the number one defender at North. So
nice.
Maybe I'll pencil in a matchup with Robbie, but yeah, who knows? Ben might be in the twos by then, we don't know.
Probably depends on whether you want to kick 8 or 12.
Could sell up the Coleman, Jared, maybe that week. You're not sure.
You could sell it up indeed. We look forward to when you take on the Kangaroos. How's it been on the track with the speculation about the coach, the speculation about the independent external review? Does it hit the dressing room?
Yeah, I think we're human to a degree. We know what's going on, and I think a lot of players, we see what's been said in the media, etc. But I feel like the club did a really good job when it was announced last week. They kept all the players informed and got on the front foot and explained how it would work. And then when we got back from our bye on Monday, club addressed it again and fielded a few questions, etc. about how it would work. But we also talked about we're sticking to the path that we created. And that not much will change day to day. So we had a really good session on Monday, trained really well. And then we had a good session this morning as well. So I think that will play out in the background, and I'm sure it'll affect guys differently. But from day to day, not much will change. And we're really looking forward to getting out there and proving a few people wrong in the back half of the year.
So, Harry, just on that, you're obviously pretty confident in the system that you've got. And you just, you know, talked about the path that you're going down. You still have heaps of confidence in that. What's missing then at the moment? What are you not executing that's going to take you to that next level as a club?
I think our ability to play four quarters has really hurt this year. I think we've played, I think if you look at every game we've been in it after our years for three quarters, and then in that last period of the game we've just fell away and conceded, you know, five or six goals. So I think if we can play four quarters and finish off those games, then we'll be in really good stead. We've been in every game. We've played some really good football, but it doesn't mean much when you don't get the results. So we've been just working on a little bit of mindset stuff around that, where we go to when the game's on the line, and just being consistent. But yeah, we just want to play our brand of footy, and we feel like that stacks up. It's just making sure that's done for four quarters.
And Harry, as we let you go, I assume that the skipper, or one of them, will be the next to put pen to paper now that you've signed. Patrick Cripps won't be going anywhere, will he?
I hope not. I think you probably know more than me, but it's I think it's pretty close to being done. I'm sure they'll work out the finer details, but yeah, if you spent one day with Cripper at the club, you'd know how invested he is, and you just couldn't see it in your wildest dreams him leaving the club. He's been awesome as a leader, and he's playing some good football at the moment. So I'm sure that gets done in the next few weeks. But I'll let Cripper and the club work that one out.
Harry, well done on the new deal. Good luck for the rest of the year, particularly with the Coleman. And if you're looking for that kicking coach, I reckon Jared's just giving you his best sales pitch. So
I'll do it for free.
We'll give you his number after the show. Well done.
I was going to say, Jared, sure you'd help me out.
I'll do it for free. You give me a couple of hours, I'd love to have a crack.
No worries. Appreciate that. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen.
Harry McKay, Carlton forward. Impressive on the field. And that's the first time I've heard him interviewed to a long extent, Jared. Impressive off the field.
Yeah, he's a very gifted young bloke, Lee. And you'd love to have him in any team at the top of the goal square.
Well, he's only in early stage of his career. Yeah. So whatever he is doing now, he's got a lot better ahead. So it's exciting days for Carlton that he's re-signed, and they know that he's going to be there longer term.
It is interesting, Lee, just the way they're set up. Given that they're spending so much time focusing on Harry. I think the last time I looked, he'd had been hit the target or made target 131 times. The average for forwards of his ilk is around 100, so he's 30% up. And yet the general consensus from premiership coaches in recent times is you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket.
Well, that's a fact. That is the fact, because it is so much. Maybe part of that. How many games, for instance, if you're going to Harry McKay, just as an example, that often, then his break even is almost 3 or 4 goals a game. So it's, yeah, you do put your eggs in the one basket, and very few coaches want to do that. But sometimes you just haven't got the enough options down there to spread the load.
More sports after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. More with Lee and Jared coming up very shortly. Just a quick news headline. Jordan DeGoey, one match ban by Michael Christian after being charged with rough conduct against Clayton Oliver. Jared, what say you?
I say he will probably appeal that based on severity. Okay. I mean, clearly got him high, but I think Oliver certainly puts a mayo on it. And I think he'll have a crack at the appeal. I think Robert Harvey would like to have him playing his first game, Lee.
Absolutely, and he might do that because I think he got the week because it was a medium impact when probably it only looked fairly low impact, and so he might well be able to get the tables in his favour to get a fine rather than a 1 week penalty.
Lee, I want you to keep your powder dry because there's a big edition, Jared, of the Gospel coming up right after this.
Time now for some nourishment from the book of Lethal Lee Matthews. What gospel reading have you got for us this afternoon, Lee?
Well, a few things under the umbrella. And part of the coaching art, and it is an art, is when to persevere and when do you make a change. And I'll start with the Thursday night game when Port played Geelong. Now, Geelong have been not having trouble because there's been no obvious ruck option yep. for them over the last year or two. Rhys Stanley's mainly been their main ruckman. Now, Mark Blitzards is a terrific backup ruckman, but Rhys Stanley is sort of similar type of player to Mark Blitzards, I reckon. Now, Asava Radigalia. Now, he's a big man, a bit like a junior version of Nick Natanui in a way, like a big man who can jump. Now, I would be saying if I was looking for the back, and I'm the back row of the Standard, middle, I don't know all the information like Chris Scott does, I'd be persevering with Asava Radigalia. Yep. Because whatever he can do now is valuable, but you get him rucking for a couple of months, 8 or 10 games, I reckon you might have the odd bad game, but I think Geelong will be a much better team if Radigalia can actually just improve that little bit with the experience of another couple of months of rucking, then they've really got a good option in the ruck. So that is a persevere big time for me, Jared, that one.
And have you got any that you would abandon?
Yes, Friday night. I went to Friday night. I was watching the game. Now, the Swans, as we remember, first month of the year
yep.
were outstanding. They were quick. They went into their forward line and you never knew who was going to be the target.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the game on Friday night and I thought they are far too Buddy Franklin conscious.
Yep.
Now, this is a problem. I don't know if anyone else has spoken about it. Now, this is a problem for John Longmire because Buddy's not going to get any better in his next couple of years. And he's not capable of being the forward target. And Hawthorn, talk about double teaming, they triple team you half the time. The trouble is when you've got such a magnificent player as Buddy Franklin has been, it's not that he won't play some good games now, but he's not going to dominate games, and he's not able to be the forward target when the opposition know he's going to be the forward target, and they actually just double team you or triple team. So I looked at that and I thought, that's a problem for the Swans, and they have to change somehow or other. They have to make sure that they've got other targets, because when a Swans player looks up, your eyes are going to be drawn to the Buddy Franklin. Big, imposing man, and he'll draw the ball. But that, I thought, was something that needs to change for the Swans to be anywhere near that fast-moving, kick the ball to yep. a whole lot of individual forward line targets. So that hit me on Friday night. Don't know whether you watched the game and had a thought on that.
Yeah, and no, I was 100% with you. It was, Heaney was poor. I reckon you could see that in the first 3 or 4 minutes. He lacked, and then he kicked a goal and thought, oh, well, I've got that wrong. And yet you could just see right throughout the match, slowly creeping in, how mentally they were shot. And I think they're also down on talent, because a number of those young kids that were so exciting in the first part of the season, they're no longer playing at this stage. You know, Braden Campbell's not in the side. Eric Gildon's not in the side. And Chad Warner also not in the side. I mean, there are 3 potential A-grade mids down the track, all trying to get back some confidence in the seconds.
Anyway, yep, it is the elephant in the room a little bit that I reckon John Longmire has to confront. I mean, we're all just enthralled with Buddy maybe kicking 1,000 goals, and he's got about 30-odd to go, I think, in this season. I reckon he'd be the last person to kick 1,000 goals any time in the next few generations. But I just think they can't be too Buddy conscious, and John has to be able to somehow change something to make sure that doesn't happen. Otherwise, I don't think the Swans are going to be nearly as good as they were in the first month of the year. Can I go to another one from Friday night? Under the same umbrella. Now, Hawthorn, Ned Reeves, young ruckman, who they've been playing instead of Segler, for the future. But do they persevere? But Segler and McAvoy were outstanding as a ruck pair.
Yep.
They completely demolished Tom Hickey.
Yeah.
Do they bring Ned Reeves back in because he's the future? Or do they stick with Segler and McAvoy, which is going to help them? Well, this is exactly where the club and the coach has to decide exactly that. I don't think there's any doubt that Alistair Clarkson would believe that Segler and McAvoy are going to be better right now. Mm. But Ned Reeves is the future of the club, and they've got to get match time into him as well. So that is exactly where they have to decide. Do they persevere with what worked so well last Friday night, or go back to the young bloke to partner either McAvoy or Singh? I don't think you could play all three of them. So this is the dilemmas that coaches, and that is the coaching art that Alistair Clarkson and his coaching group have to confront and make decisions on.
Any further ones from Friday night?
Not Friday night, but Sunday night. Now, watch the Eagles-Richmond game.
Yeah.
And every time Natta knew he wasn't in the ruck, even Pickett was out rucking Allen. Like, he might be a good ruckman in the future, Allen. Now, we keep hearing, and the numbers say it, that Natta knew he's only on the ground for about two-thirds of the game, you know, say 67%. Mm. Can they get an extra 10% out of him? Because it makes such a difference to the Eagles when Natta knew he's in the ruck. Now, he obviously only plays 67% because they don't think he's got the condition or the aerobic capacity to play anymore. But, gee, you'd hope. They would be hoping to change that, surely. And he's going to at least ruck for 80% of the game, which the majority of the ruckmen do. And the Eagles would be so much better side if they could get that extra 10% out of Natta Nui. So that's a change. Can they change the current numbers to that little bit more, make him a much better team?
We've got some breaking news over a pretty serious, or what could be a potentially season-ending injury to a star Magpie. We'll bring you the latest right after this on Sports Day.
Drive car of the year, and across Tasmania, home of the Chief, for Wilson Homes, who believe in great design so you love being home. We'll be speaking to the Chief later on the program.
Are we going down to the new footy mecca?
We are indeed, Scoop. We're going down to Tasmania, given that hit the shut button, Sutton has said no footy here. We're on the way down.
Is it too cold for footy down there?
No,
Melbourne and GWS didn't get the 3,500 sort of up and going?
That's the question we need to explore with the Chiefs of football down there.
Is it?
No, it was a beautiful day last Sunday.
Yeah.
Absolutely magnificent. And a good game too. And the big loser.
You were doing that game, weren't you?
I was. The big loser.
I had some feedback about your commentary on that game.
Was the Giants.
I think you might have been cheering the Giants home late. In fact, I think you, having listened to you in the commentary, I think you predicted that the Giants were going to finish strongly before the Giants even started finishing
before
strongly.
Before they thought about it.
I thought that game was done and dusted, Jared, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, it was. Well, they're never done and dusted. I mean, North Melbourne have got a pretty young side, so all you had to do is bring some pressure. But they...
Are you still pro-North Melbourne as a what you're seeing, early signs under David Noble?
That's the best I've seen them play on the weekend. That's the best game I've seen Tarryn Thomas play.
They've got some...
I think their tall defenders need a lot of work,
okay,
including Ben McKay. Harry's brother got lost a number of times, really badly lost. Josh Walker, I think, needs to...
Josh Walker's a bit of a stopgap, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Josh Walker. I've been a fan of Josh Walker's for a while, but it was one of his poorer first halves, and I know they were actually playing well, so I'm not sure what's going on there. I think that when he first went to North Melbourne, I thought he had a fantastic season down at fullback, and then they pushed him forward because they had to.
Yeah.
But, gee, I reckon he got lost a couple of times on the weekend.
So Tom Morris's story, just as we went off here in the first hour, that Darcy Moore has a suspected PCL. So Sam Edmund from SEN following up is reporting it's a grade 2 PCL, usually 8 to 12 weeks.
Yep.
So that, I mean...
That's a good stretch. That's
exactly what Tom said in his initial story. That is pushing the whole year, Jared.
Yeah, no, he won't play again this year.
That's a huge blow for the Pies.
Massive blow, and a massive blow for...
Robert Harvey.
Rob Harvey, who... Yeah. You know, we know he's not going to get the Collingwood job. We suspect he won't get the Collingwood job. They've told us that, look, they want fresh blood. But he's applying for another job in his 10 weeks as coach of the Pies.
So no doubt.
That's a real shame for him. I haven't looked at their draw. I don't even know who they're playing on the other side of the bye. But I hope Banger does well because he's deserved his opportunity.
Yep, no doubt he has. So let's talk about more of the fallout.
In fact, we might try and get Bangers on at some stage during the week, please, super 13. Producer.
Yep. John Barker coming on the show with us tomorrow night.
I heard that.
Huge.
Live and exclusive.
Live and exclusive.
First up.
The first victim from the review that hasn't started yet.
Can you help me about this review, Scoop?
Please.
Because when I first read
I had a lot of calls about this review, so I'm well vested.
Right. When I first read it,
yep.
There were a couple of names on there that I don't think were going to be there initially.
Okay.
There was one name in particular that I thought was definitely going to be there, and he wasn't there.
Okay. Jason Dunstall?
No, I didn't.
Because Tommy Morris reported that he got called and said no.
Yeah, I didn't know whether Jason would take the opportunity or not, to be honest. But I always thought it was difficult to get a player involved because, to me, this could finish a senior coach's career.
Okay.
So having a player involved, I think, was challenging. But Pav's put his hand up, so we'll see what happens there.
Yep.
He may have been told that this isn't about the coach. We're not sacking the coach. So if that's the case, well, that's fine. But
I'm not sure you can do it like that.
I'm not sure you can have an independent review.
No.
My question is it an independent review? Because when I read the missive from Carlton on Friday night, it said that Kane Little and Luke Sayers were involved. Well, that immediately, in my mind, makes it a review, not an independent review.
Yeah. So the one that surprised me was Kane Little.
Well, but are they actually involved with this review?
Yeah. I think the exact wording was that they'd be that Kane Little would be assisting. I think it's okay, isn't it, that the incoming president is allowed to be the guy who chairs it? So it's
no,
no,
no, okay. Not at all.
Okay.
Not for independence. I mean, when they said they were going to have an independent review, there was a lot of pushback and said, why doesn't the board do it? And the board rightly said, because we want to have total integrity. We don't want to influence the decision.
They've got to present their report to someone, right?
Well, they can present it to the board.
Yeah, I think that's what Luke Sayers hired these three to do. You go do the review, and then you present me, being the new president, the findings.
Him and the board?
Well, it'd be to him.
Or why should it be just to him? He's the leader of a board.
Yeah, well, he would
It's not an autocracy.
No. I think we get...
So where does Kane Little fall
into this? I don't know where Kane Little gets involved in this, to be honest, because I would think that he is under review, or his position would be as under review as Brad Lloyd's or David Teague's, personally.
Well, they have said it's a football department review, so...
No,
So he is not, unless they consider him part of the football department, then he shouldn't be in the review. But
the panel will be led by incoming President Luke Sayers with the support of CEO Kane Little. And the final report with its recommendations will be delivered to the board.
See, to me, that's not independent. And I think they strongly separated themselves.
From independence.
No, initially... from the board to this independent review because of the integrity and the process. And that's my understanding of due process and good process, having an independent review.
So this is Mark separation. Mark LaGiudice's words.
Yeah, but he's on the outgoing.
No, I'm just listening to his statement from the club, right? So which is in his words. The club recently announced it'll undertake an independent football department review to be conducted by an external panel of experts.
Exactly. And that's how it was said to me some weeks ago.
The first part of this process has been to finalise the external panel who will lead the process.
That's right. They will lead the process.
I'm pleased to advise you that the following three panel members will conduct a holistic review of the entire football department. The panel will be led by incoming President Luke Sayers. So to me, Luke's now on the panel. Because if you're leading a panel, you're on it.
It's not independent.
With the support of CEO Kane Little.
Well, that's not independent. I'm sorry, but that's not independent.
Hmm.
Because Luke Sayers has already got opinions. He knows the inner workings. He's listened to the football department.
He's been on the board for a decade.
He's been on the board. He's already formed his opinions of some people. That's why it's not independent. If you're going to have independent, you have fresh eyes come in, fresh eyes listen, fresh eyes collaborate.
Wasn't Peter Murphy on the board, Jared, when he did the review of Collingwood?
I don't know. Was it described as an independent review?
I believe so.
You don't know, sir.
When Adelaide did their review, Andrew Fagan, the CEO, was on it.
Was he?
Yep.
Was it an independent review?
Well, let's have a look here. I think...
So it's not independent if you've got club people there. It's a mix. You've got a couple of new faces and you've got already a couple of already tried and tested faces.
So they're not allowed... Yeah. I'm just wondering, Jerry, whether we're potentially arguing semantics here.
No, we're not arguing anything like semantics. If you've got an independent review, you put five people together, you say, here's the agenda, this is what we want you to review. Go away and review it. Come back and present us your findings.
And Adelaide did theirs in 2019. Pavlich and Dunster were both on it.
Mm.
And then they also had Tim Gabbett, who is a high-performance expert, and Joan Oliver, the performance and leadership expert. So it was a four-person panel, according to the club. Dunstall chaired the panel. Crows CEO Andrew Fagan provided support. And that was deemed an external review.
Mm-hmm.
So similar, is it not?
Well,
Andrew Fagan will provide support. And then Carlton, 2 years later, the CEO, Kane Little, with the support of Luke Sayers.
Yeah, well.
I completely Dunstall agree with what
Dunstall
you're saying.
Who's leading it? Is Graham Lowe leading it or is Luke Sayers leading it?
This said, in the official statement by Carlton, the panel will be led by incoming President Luke Sayers.
Well, how's it independent?
But if Andrew Fagan was on Adelaide's external review
didn't say he was on it. They said it was supportive.
Well, I mean, that's semantics, is it not?
Possibly, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what that means? But I know is
I would like to
it's
ask...
nowhere near as independent as I thought it was painted to be.
It's less dependent on independence.
Well, I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest. I thought it was a truly independent review. And then they come and report to the board, and off you go.
Yeah, I got to be honest, Jared. I thought that they were going to do a full review of the whole club, not just the football department.
Mm.
So, you know, this statement has already guaranteed the survival of the CEO.
No, I don't know about that.
Well, Chris, I don't think you can have...
Not
I don't
Chris.
Think
what's...
Kane Little.
No, what was Fagan's name? What was his first name? Andrew Fagan.
Andrew Fagan, he went a year and a half later.
Yeah, okay.
The review actually led to the removal of Brett Burton as head of football and Scott Camporelli as senior assistant.
Yes.
They're the two main things.
You don't
things.
Think it led to the review ultimately of Andrew Fagan?
I think Andrew Fagan ultimately fell on his sword, not just because of the review.
When they did a review of Collingwood, first to go was? Gary Peart.
Gary Peart, I'm just trying to work out. I know we're talking about semantics here again. He might have left during the review. I'm just trying to... Because Jeff Walsh came in, didn't
he? Yeah, if you leave during the review, I think that means you've...
Jared, I'm not sure you can have a review that has the support of the CEO that sees the CEO leave. I just can't... That wouldn't happen to me. And the CEO one who hired the head of football, who apparently is under increasing pressure. I said this during the time at Adelaide. I said that if everything that has gone wrong at that footy club and everyone who left, but Andrew Fagan somehow survived, it made no sense at all.
Well,
and ultimately he left.
Mm.
So I think, yeah, we talked about this last week when we broke you the story. It's a watershed moment for this footy club. And you can say that that's over-dramatised all you like, but it is. And there's only so many ways that you can cut this. And I think there's going to have to be significant
change.
Can you
make some phone calls as to its independence for us and report back tomorrow? I don't want to be involved in that phone call. Otherwise, it may be non-independent.
Yeah. Geez, I got some strong phone calls over the weekend from Carlton-related people.
Did you?
Yep.
Over?
The stories from last week causing a few waves.
Ruffles.
No, there were ruffles, and then I think there were full-blown
waves.
Meltdowns.
Mm. Okay.
I'm just not sure how many people are going to be answering my call in the next few months.
All right. I might have to ring someone.
You're going to ring someone?
I'll ring someone.
Okay. Well, we're going to ring you actually after the break because I want to get more of your opinion on on David McKay, if we can, and the MRO decision. More coming up on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Canstar's most trusted energy retailer, and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Jared, can we just discuss the David McKay Hunter Clark collision one more time? You and Lee had a very interesting tete-a-tete earlier in the show. It's sort of weird for me listening to you two disagree about stuff because you're usually on the same page with things. But I just wanted to...
Well, I think we are on the same page on this. I think we both believe...
You're in the same family.
The game is heading towards a point where you are going to be liable for your actions on the ground.
Yeah, so...
And to me, Scoop, that's where it's difficult because I guess what we're disagreeing with is Lee says the game is telling us this, but I don't think we've been told.
Not formally.
I don't think we've been told.
I
don't think we've been told that you have to take a duty of care when you are attacking the ball. Yes, when you're going in for a bump, that's clear. But I think this is a watershed report, and I await the watershed decision. I don't think the judiciary should be the ones making that decision.
Yeah. So the interesting part for me, Jared, was the AFL basically had to search high and low to find something to fit.
Yeah, they needed a coverall.
Yeah, which was. The rough conduct that David McKay engaged in was quote-unquote unreasonable in the circumstances. Now, usually we're used to hearing those words put together when, someone swings a fist or if, someone led with their leg or, like an action that just no one thought was reasonable. Yeah. I think everyone's scratching their head at the ones that are scratching their head at this one is, if that is unreasonable in the circumstances, what is reasonable? Is he not supposed to contest the ball at high speeds? Does he have to slow down?
I can accept that in time, and it may be in 3 or 4 days' time, we will view that as unreasonable.
Yeah, but we can't going into
but
that
But I
game.
Haven't heard anybody tell me that it was unreasonable before this.
No,
and that's why I can't see how the judiciary can stand there and say, David McKay should have known that that was unreasonable.
Completely. Yeah, and as you said to Lee in the first hour, he shouldn't have to bear the brunt of the weight of that by himself. It shouldn't just be this incident by itself changes the game.
Yeah, it's not like it's the ATO. I mean, we don't do those things. The ATO can make up a rule that becomes a watershed rule, and somebody who's creative.
I thought you might have gone with another acronym starting with D there.
No. This is how rules in the tax department get made, because people invent things. But this is the reverse. This hasn't been an invention. This has been a continuation of what's been accepted behaviour for a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So therefore, it would be seen as reasonable up until this point in time when Steve Hocking has pulled him up and said, no, that is unreasonable. Well, until someone actually tells you it's unreasonable, you are not to know it's unreasonable.
I think strong chance he gets weeks and strong chance it's overturned on appeal.
Well, that would make it a 50-50, which is all good fodder for talkback.
It's all good fodder for talkback, but, it's a really, really fascinating one. And I
listened to Chris Scott today on the radio, and he said that he would love to have thought over the years that he attacked the ball, and he was coached by Lee Matthews, who would have said to him, everybody attack the ball as ferociously as possible.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, been distilled into every person that enters into a changing room. Some go harder than others, but everybody's encouraged to go hard and go fast. Mm. And McKay, I suspect, thought, if I don't actually accelerate here, I'm not going to get there first. And he didn't get there first, so he was going ballistically. But I don't think it was unreasonable in the circumstance on last Saturday. It may well be on Friday.
So you think the rule could be changed this year?
Well, if the judiciary suspending, the rule changes immediately.
Well, it's a pretty big change to the game.
Well, it is.
Because you are therefore liable
to
anything
up,
you do.
It opens up a lot of questions.
You're therefore liable for anything that you
that's
do.
That's right.
Whether
including
lawful
run
or
back
unlawful.
For the flight of the ball. Was it reasonable to go for the mark like that? Was it reasonable to jump on that person's head? I think that would all be tick-tick. But I would find it difficult that you can knock a bloke out in going for the mark, running back with a flight of the ball, but you're not allowed to run ballistically into a contest because of body contact. I mean, Brownie and Riewoldt, they must have assumed body contact was coming. So if they knock somebody out, are they guilty?
Yeah, And they would have been taught, I'm assuming, as youngsters, Jared, that the harder I go, the less chance I am of me getting hurt.
No, it's really contentious. There's strong views either way. I think everybody's looking for a safer game. My question is, how do we get there?
How do we get there? Well, we can tell you how to get to Beaumonts. They've got 110 stores. They've got the best range. Waterproofing, grouts, glues. And you win 25 grand's worth if you head on to iCanWin.com.au. We're going to head south next. The Chief of Tasmania, Brent Costello, is going to join us next on Sports Day. You are listening to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer, and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. And it is to Tasmania that we go, Jared. Or should we be renaming Tasmania the new mecca of COVID football?
It's the centre of AFL football, and it's rightly getting its moment in the sun.
I thought mecca was pretty good, actually.
I didn't mind the mecca. I just hope that somebody turns up to see the games, particularly the one with the Kangaroos playing, or have the scaremongering types that have suggested and convinced people down in Tasmania that they can send a message to the AFL by not turning up, having their time in the sun.
Are you saying the waves of fear, Jared, are going to spread down Bass Strait?
I don't think it's the waves of fear that people are feeling after hit the shut button, Sutton closed us down one more time. I think it's just more a message about people in Tasmania wanting their own team. That said, let's find out. Brent Costello is our man on the ground. They're not shut down. They are open for business, and luckily for us. Welcome to you, Brent.
G'day, Jared. G'day, Sam. How you going, boys?
We're going pretty well. It was a really good game of footy last week, GWS versus the Kangaroos. No one saw the game there. I just wonder whether or not did it make your news?
Well, it will tonight, that's for sure, because we're doing a bit of a broader footy story tonight with everything that's going on here. I was certainly someone that was there, and it looked more than that to me looking out there, but the official crowd was just under 3,500, I think. So pretty disappointing, but a bit of a hard sell at this time of year. I know it's pretty cold here, as you guys like to say, but two low-drawing teams. GWS don't have a fan base at all, we know that, so... but still, it is the biggest show in town, so we would have liked to see a few more through the gates. But I'm sure we will this weekend. And there's a lot of hype about Essendon coming to town, guys. So they've never been here haven't been here since the last 30 years. So hearing people in the streets today asking for tickets, I've got no doubt that UTAS Stadium will be sold out come Sunday, I reckon.
Yeah, but that's Launceston. The issue is playing football in Hobart a myth? Or is it playing football in Hobart with the Kangaroos on show, the myth? Because 3,000 people shouldn't be a game of footy if that's as many as going to turn up.
Yeah, it's a good question. And the crowds seem to have dropped year by year. I haven't actually looked it up research-wise, but if you do, I reckon that's what you'd see, that they've just continually dropped. Hopefully this weekend's a little different. We've got, obviously, David Noble and Chris Fagan, two very good Tasmanian men, coaching against each other for the first time. That'll be brilliant in itself to see those guys back on home soil. Brisbane would have a lot more supporters than GWS would, so I'm hoping that we're back up around to, 7, 8, even 10,000, hopefully, for this weekend's game, because, you're right, we need more there than the 3,500 that turned up on the weekend.
Why just 3,500, do you think, Chief?
A range of reasons, I reckon, Sam. And as I said, it's pretty cold here at the moment. But we can't use that as an excuse because, winter in Tassie is cold. So if we want our own team, they're going to be in winter. So we can't use that as an excuse. I do think it was two low-drawing teams in Tasmania. North Melbourne don't have as many supporters here as Hawthorn do. And I think that's the reason why. No one really flies down for GWS, do they, to follow their team around. So I think it's just a snowball of things, really.
Chief, what about the game in Launceston at UTAS Stadium? Surely close to a sellout there in what's much more of a marquee clash.
Yeah, it will be. There's about 14,000, I think, is the COVID capacity at the moment. Peter Gutwin, the Premier today, said he'd like to see that increased, and I think the clubs have requested for it to be increased to about 16,000. So fingers crossed that can get done before the weekend, because, as I said, a lot of people lining up to get into that game, I reckon. Essendon have a really good, strong membership base and a lot of fans here in Tasmania. Hawthorn draw pretty good crowds at UTAS Stadium regardless. So I think it's a good recipe to have, and I think we will see around 16,000 there come Sunday, which would be great.
16,000, Jared. Wouldn't that be some sort of crowd down there at Tasmania? I mean, they're good numbers. They're the numbers we want.
Well, they are, but if they're only going to turn up for big blockbuster teams, well, yeah, then you have to question the whole AFL scene down there. We know there's a big following, but if Chief is basically saying if the temperature drops below 13, they're not turning up, well, Chief, that's a big issue.
I think I should have mentioned too before, guys, I think we are sick and tired of getting the teams that aren't blockbuster teams down here. I know they get bigger crowds over your way in Melbourne, so I get why the clubs don't do it, but look what will happen if Essendon do come here. People will go and watch. They don't want to probably go and watch GWS, who are one of the newish teams in the competition that don't have the prestige that a Carlton or an Essendon or a blockbuster team like that does have. So
they've got some good players, though, Chief. I know that they don't have the prestige of some of the older clubs, but there's got some bloody good players, GWS. I just would have thought, given the amount of football that Tasmanians have been starved of down there, that, you know, yeah, 3.5 surprised me, to be honest. I know you wouldn't expect a huge crowd, but 3.5 is nowhere near where it should be.
And that, to be fair, that is our lowest ever. Like, nothing has been that low before, yep, either. But I think some people are voting with their feet as well, or not voting with their feet, I should say, and trying to send a message to the AFL as well. I really do think it's a big snowball of things happening. I really do. Like, maybe the weather's the smallest part of it, but voting with your feet, low drawing teams, I think it's all a big combination, to be honest.
You say it's cold, Chief. I'm just Jared's walked off the boat a couple of times down at Salamanca. How cold are we talking as you get towards the docks?
Well, actually, I say it was cold on Sunday. But
it's a beautiful day. What are you talking about, Chief?
It wasn't actually too bad. I sat outside for the whole game, and it wasn't too bad. I didn't have an overcoat.
What was
it?
What was the temperature?
I reckon it would have been about 12 or 13.
You're kidding, aren't you? That's cold down there. Cold for Tasmania, Jared, should only be under 5. 13 starting to be shorts weather for the Taswegians.
What I should say is that the forecast wasn't probably looking good, but once you're there, it was fine. But we had some pretty ordinary weather last week, so people may have looked at that and got a bit scared to go to the footy, I reckon.
Will the government fund North Melbourne again?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, it's all riding on this report coming from Colin Carter. That's going to be the big, that's how they're going to make the decision, I suppose, to see what is happening in that. We expect that next month, so I'll be able to answer that probably then, Jared. But at this stage, I have heard things, you hear things around town that maybe they'll keep Hawthorn and maybe not Northfield. Who knows? I'm guessing if I'm being honest. So we'll wait and see what this report is or has in it from Colin Carter, and we'll go from there.
Chief, great to have you on. Jared and I are looking forward to a full review, an external review, which is the popular statement at the moment.
Independent external review.
Independent and external, this time next week of both games.
Love it, boys. Look forward to talking to you then. Cheers.
Brent Costello there, the Chief of Wind News in Tasmania and the face of sport down south in the beautiful island of Tasmania that never gets too cold, Jared. Really?
No, I think it's a beautiful place. I'm lucky enough to have been down there many, many times. A few times down there on a boat. 10, in fact, and a number of times on an aeroplane, about 100, I suppose.
Do you have a favourite pub down there? Favourite watering hole? There's a few nice
yes.
ones there.
Now, let me have a think about this. It's,
there's a couple on the water.
Yeah.
There's a couple
there's
sort
one
of
up, there's one
point.
Up the hill. What's the one up the hill that we used to have a lot of beers with? With Doggy. Doggy used to be one of the legends from one of the America's Cup boats. Who's a boat builder down there. Doggy's name has escaped me. But
the pubs would have gone off.
He took me
after Sydney to Hobart.
Oh, every time. Absolutely sensational. Up the hill, I can't remember the name of it, but it's walking distance from Salamanca, I can tell you that.
This is
stumbling distance home.
Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and for Wilson Homes, which are across Tasmania. We'll be right back. You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for the Kia Sorento. It is Drive Car of the Year and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Harry Mackay is officially a new blue for 2 more years at least. And he chatted to myself, Jared, and Lee Matthews earlier in the show.
Can you hear me, Harry?
I can hear you, Jared.
Fantastic, Harry. You're probably too old to actually understand just what the perspective of that question is. But it was a famous question in the history of 3OW sports coverage. And it's great to have another fantastic Harry on board. And congratulations. A couple of years added to your contract and you're a blue through and through.
Thank you. Yeah, you did lose me with the reference there, not going to lie. But appreciate the kind words. Yeah, it's nice to sign on for another couple of years. Yeah, it's fantastic to get it done and looking forward to the second half of the year.
One bloke old enough to know, absolutely understand the reference to Can You Hear Me, Harry, is Lee Matthews who joins us. Welcome again,
yeah,
Lee.
That'd be, thank you, Jerry. That'd be Tommy Laiff in the old days. That's it. Long before you were born, Harry. But can I ask you, I mean, for congratulations on the recontracting. I always think this, the news story is when a player doesn't want to be recontracted, so it's great that you're staying. Can I ask you, I mean, most of your kicks are shots at goal. And I guess an observation I make is you look more comfortable with the across-the-body kick. Have you worked out the segments, in a sense, in the forward 50 arc and already know what kick I'm going to do from different parts of the 50-metre arc?
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Yeah, pretty much. I've worked out, I guess, to an extent. Obviously, game day, some things change in terms of conditions and feel a little bit, but pretty much that whole 45 section, I feel really comfortable snapping the ball. I think some people think it's because you don't want to have the drop pump, but for me it's just a comfort thing. I feel like I can get really good purchase on the ball, and the margin for error is a lot higher, so I feel like I can hit the ball well and it'll always come back. So it's just something I've been working on mostly in the off season, and I feel like I'm really comfortable and kicking the ball well. I think the stats wise, I haven't missed too many from that side. So, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable, I guess, in certain different parts of the ground, what kick I'm going to do. There's always a couple kind of tinkering on the edge on game day, depending on field. But yeah, I'm pretty comfortable when I go out there. I know what kick I'm going to do.
And the coaches are quite happy to back your judgment on what kick to use in, you know, certain circumstances?
Yeah, they are. I guess all they want to see really is just a routine and something that you can repeat time after again. If you're chopping and changing and playing on and not really having much control on what you're doing, I think that's when they get a little bit annoyed. But, yeah, Teague and my forward coach, Cameron Bruce, we've done a lot of work, and they back me in to make the right call and go through my routine and execute it.
Did you meet with any other clubs, Harry?
No, I didn't, Sam, no. I think my manager obviously fielded a few calls, but, yeah, I was purely just dealing with Carlton. I guess it's his job to pick up the phone, Sam. But yeah, it was always just negotiating with Carlton, and I'm really glad to get that done.
Jared, Harry saying that his manager may have fielded one or two calls. I mean, like, he's the hottest forward in the game right now. He's leading the Coleman Medal. I think it would have been more than one or two.
I think he's humble, very polite, and you should have listened to all offers just to make sure that you're very comfortable with where you sit, Harry. One thing that I would ask you, though, is now that you are a very wealthy young man, do you think you should invest in getting your own personal kicking coach?
Ooh.
That's a good question, Jared. I think...
Let me just paint the picture. Let me paint the picture. There used to be a kicking coach, Sav Rocker at Carlton. He's now no longer there. You are a guy who makes your living out of kicking goals, among other things that will be added to your game, I'm sure. But essentially, you're getting paid these big bucks because you're a goal kicker. And right now, your goal kicking conversion could seriously go up a serious amount if, in fact, you could find the right person to help you through the learning process or the relearning process, etc. Now, over in the States, I mean, there is multiple golfers paying multiple thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and in Australia too, to have their own personal coach. In tennis, it's you pay for your own coach. And I just wonder, when we get to these mega contracts, and take it for what it's worth, it's a big deal, the contract. Maybe it's time team players should start thinking individually about improving elements of their game.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I've on a personal note, I employ a sports psychologist outside of the club in terms of the work on the mental side of things for my goal kicking. And then I've been really enjoying working with the coaches at the Carlton Football Club. They are experts in their field to a degree as well. So I think there's a balance there. I feel like if you look at my improvement in terms of last year and the year before, so now I'm by no certain means comfortable or satisfied with where I'm kicking at the moment. But I think I've shown improvement, and I've tapped into the mental side of things just as much as the physical side of things. But I'm actually a big advocate for that. Obviously, the club will push in a direction, not just with goal kicking, but your diet, your training, whatever it is. But to a degree, you have to have some accountability as a player, and just if you can't get that necessary working at the club, then using some of your own money and investing in yourself to get the best out of yourself. I believe in that, yeah.
So, Harry, you've re-signed at a time just after the club announced an external review. It's going to put a few jobs of people above you under the microscope. Did it affect at all your decision-making?
Not really, Sam. I think the whole time I'd known that I wanted to stay at Carlton. The review came at an interesting time, obviously, as I was sitting down to crunch the numbers and work out a deal. I think I said earlier this morning, I wouldn't have re-signed if I had any doubt in where we're going as a club. And I think that the review actually comes at a good time as a high-performing environment. If we can get any feedback and work on anything that can get us better, I'm all for that and take that on board. I feel like we've got a lot of the foundations in place for the football club to be successful, and I think this will help just nut out a few of the minor details. But I'm really comfortable where the list is at. We haven't played amazing football so far this year, but we've still got 10 or 11 games to turn that around, and I'm really confident we can do that.
Were you one of the players that the incoming president, Luke Sayers, chatted to in Sydney last week?
No, I've spoken to Luke, just shaking his hand and saying good day and congratulations. But no, I didn't speak in terms of sitting down with him. But I may in the future. I'm not sure how the extent of the review will work out. But no, apart from asking him what hotel he's staying at and how his coffee was, Sam, that's all I've said to Luke.
Always interesting, you big forwards, Harry. Who's the player, the teammate upfield you want with the ball when you got a chance to move into space?
Yeah, we've got a couple there. From a forward line perspective, whenever Eddie Betts gets the ball, I feel like we have pretty good chemistry. So he always kind of looks for me, so he kicks the ball well. I think Sam Welsh as well. He wins a lot of it himself. So whenever he gets the ball, your eyes light up to a degree. But I feel like we've got some good kicks. Murph over the years has been a really nice kick. I think Welsh, he probably wins more ball than anyone. So I'm always pretty happy when he has the ball.
Jared, I'm not sure if you were listening a couple of weeks ago. SEN Breakfast had Harry's twin brother, Ben, on from North Melbourne. And they were sort of, you know, joking along the lines of, if they played North, would you get the matchup on him? And Ben said something along the lines of, well, I usually take the number one key forward, so I'll probably play on Levi.
Right.
So I just thought, Harry, in the interest of fairness, we'd give you the chance to sort of, you know, shoot back across the net. Would you play on Ben, do you think, whenever you face North Melbourne?
Well, a little bit of context, Sam. I reckon I've said that line around friends and family about 20 times, I reckon. But Ben was quick enough to get it in front of the media. So hats off to him for that. I think he was quite happy with the response he got. But I did see, I don't want to steal his gag, but Robbie Tarrant usually, I think in the past, I've played on Robbie. And I would say he's the number one defender at North. So
nice. Maybe
I'll pencil in a matchup with Robbie. But who knows? Ben might be in the twos by then. I don't know.
Probably depends on whether you want to kick 8 or 12.
Could sell it to Coleman, Jared, maybe that week. Or not sure.
You could sell it up indeed. We look forward to when you take on the Kangaroos. How's it been on the track with the speculation about the coach, the speculation about the independent external review? Does it hit the dressing room?
Yeah, I think we're human to a degree. We know what's going on, and I think a lot of players, we see what's been said in the media, etc. But I feel like the club did a really good job when it was announced last week. They kept all the players informed and got on the front foot and explained how it would work. And then when we got back from our bye on Monday, club addressed it again and fielded a few questions, etc. about how it would work. But we also talked about we're sticking to the path that we created. And that not much will change day to day. So we had a really good session on Monday, trained really well. And then we had a good session this morning as well. So I think that will play out in the background, and I'm sure it'll affect guys differently. But from day to day, not much will change. And we're really looking forward to getting out there and proving a few people wrong in the back half of the year.
So, Harry, just on that, you're obviously pretty confident in the system that you've got. And you just, you know, talked about the path that you're going down. You still have heaps of confidence in that. What's missing then at the moment? What are you not executing that's going to take you to that next level as a club?
I think our ability to play four quarters has really hurt this year. I think if you look at every game, we've been in we've been in it after our years for three quarters, and then in that last period of the game, we've just fell away and conceded, you know, five or six goals. So I think if we can play four quarters and finish off those games, then we'll be in really good stead. We've been in every game. We've played some really good football, but it doesn't mean much when you don't get the results. So we've been just working on a little bit of mindset stuff around that, where we go to when the game's on the line, and just being consistent. But yeah, we just want to play our brand of footy, and we feel like that stacks up. It's just making sure that's done for four quarters.
And Harry, as we let you go, I assume that the skipper or one of them will be the next to put pen to paper. Now that you've signed, Patrick Cripps won't be going anywhere, will he?
I hope not. I think you probably know more than me, but it's I think it's pretty close to being done. I'm sure they'll work out the finer details, but yeah, if you spent one day with Cripper at the club, you'd know how invested he is, and you just couldn't see it in your wildest dreams him leaving the club. He's been awesome as a leader, and he's playing some good football at the moment. So I'm sure that gets done in the next few weeks. But I'll let Cripper and the club work that one out.
Harry, well done on the new deal. Good luck for the rest of the year, particularly with the Coleman. And if you're looking for that kicking coach, I reckon Jared's just giving you his best sales pitch. So
I do it for free.
We'll give you his number after the show. Well done.
I was going to say, Jared, sure you'd help me out.
I'll do it for free. You give me a couple of hours, I'd love to have a crack.
No worries. Appreciate that. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen.
Up and about was Harry, and I'm looking forward to him getting a kicking lesson from Jared. I might try to send some Channel 9 cameras down there.
Hmm.
That's all? That's all you're offering?
He's got one issue, and one issue only.
Ball drop?
No. Ball drop's fine. He just doesn't get his weight through the ball. He's exactly the same as Joe Danaher. They land on the same spot that they leave the ground with. So there's nothing going through the ball, and they rotate harsh. So I reckon he'd be quite an easy fix, but I'm not sure I'll get a phone call.
I hope you do. We'll follow that one up. Well done, Jared. Happy Tuesday to you, and we'll see you all tomorrow as the state starts to open up.
Let's hope. Hit the shut button. Sutton is listening, and he flicks the switch the other way.
Somehow I think both of those things are unlikely. We'll see you tomorrow.